Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of No Boundaries. It's your girl, Aisha, checking in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, guys, if you've been journeying with me, you know that May is Foster Care Awareness Month. We're getting ready to close out this final session, focusing on some of the experiences and things that I've gone through and how it contributes to how I operate and function today. If you've journeyed with me so far, you know that we've talked about how rejection sometimes breeds the acceptance of ideals, behaviors, situations, and I would say ungodly covenants with people in certain situations. And that's not the way God intended for us to live our lives. So that was one of the perspectives. And another perspective that we looked at was how in beautiful chaos, your situation, no matter how dire it may seem and unfair and things of that nature, it's deemed necessary by God. Because, you know, in reality, none of us ever want to be the first to go through anything. None of us ever really enjoy testing of any kind. I know I never really did, you know. So in that case, it's needed because testimonies are needed. The Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So somebody needs that testimony. Somebody needs that encouragement. So today we're going to look at a different perspective. We're going to talk about the Gemini effect from being a part of the foster care system. And I'm not one for astrology, but, you know, I've heard many things in people. And yeah, I've read like the little horoscopes in the paper when I was younger. So from what I could gather, it is one of those signs where you're like allegedly two-faced. We'll put it that way. But I want to look at it from a perspective of there's two sides to people who've been in the foster care system. And for me, there's this side where I wouldn't say it's a rough external exterior, but I've gained some unsolicited wisdom from bouncing around and being in the streets and being homeless and being amongst some unsavory people and learning some unsavory things, we'll put it that way, and to keep it PG in a way. And then it's like as life went on, some of the street smarts that I learned, as well as the book smarts and just things, I'm just common sense, you know, and then God covered me as well. A combination of those things created another side of me. Whereas whatever it is that I didn't experience in life, like I talked about before, like the love, the support, the encouragement, those things, I became those things out of lack, out of hunger, you know, for those things. So it's two sides. It's kind of like a bittersweet kind of thing. Because people will judge you or not totally understand where you're coming from. And they'll feel like, oh, you're using that as a crutch. Oh, you're using that as an excuse or a barrier to, and you can't move on in your life because of those things, when that is like, you know, far from the truth. So I'm going to give you guys a personal example of what I go through in my day-to-day life as being a woman of color, and also as being a mother. People think that, you know, in the field of psychology, they'll call it the childhood experiences that contribute to who you are today and how you operate. And some of those things can be adverse, but some of those things are beautiful as well. So for me, I had like this little, I wouldn't even say an altercation. I had what was called verbal banter. That's what I'll call it. Verbal banter via text with one of my children. So in this bantering back and forth via text, and yes, I know text messages can be misconstrued because you determine the tone in which that person is speaking in your messages. But I know she meant every word of what she said in the tone that I took it in. But that's another story for later. But long story short, I forgot what we were talking about. Oh, we were talking about mommy and me days. And she was just like, well, you know, putting in effort. And I'm just like, I've been putting in effort since I've brought you into this world. So what do you mean putting in effort? And she said something that kind of just irritated my soul. She said, you know, having children isn't just for the parents to reap the benefits. And in my mind, I was like, ho, ho, ho. What do you mean reap the benefits? Because it's a challenge. it's a challenge now. So don't get it twisted and think that, oh, we're just, you know, we're on easy street. No, it doesn't work that way. So long story short, we had an exchange of words, and I was giving her an example of why I operate the way I do. And she said that I use that my childhood experiences from being in the foster care system, and that and the experience that I had going through divorce and the aftermath of the divorce leading up until, you know, all of them have gotten out of school, transitioned to their young adulthood in college. And she made a statement. She was just like, you know, it's been 12 years, as if like, get over it, get past it. And I deserve to have a healed parent. So my response was, you know, I was telling her, I said, first of all, I am healed. And I was just like, what I need you to understand is me sharing my story or talking about it or trying to get you to gain a different perspective on why I see things the way I see them and why I handle things the way I handle them. I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to give you insight into how I view, a bird's eye view into my world. And she was just basically like, no, you're like, you know, like I'm on crutches throughout my life. Like one crutch is the system and the other crutch is divorce, as if to say I can't function and be present as a parent because of those things, or I'm using them as excuses. And, you know, I told her, I said, that's not the case. And I had to tell her in a very firm way. I said, when you've been focused on survival the majority of your life, even when someone was supposed to be shielding you from focusing on survival as a kid, and you come up through that system in and out of it, and then you come into adulthood and motherhood, and you think you're safe now. No, those things still just followed you, right? But you learn a different perspective on how to operate and be. So she was kind of fussing, like, you know, you haven't been present for us. We don't get any of your time. And I felt all kind of ways, guys. I was just like, what do you mean? I'm not present. I'm not giving you any of my time. I kind of felt like offended. I was like, what do you mean? I'm just like, and I had to curve my tongue a bit. And I basically just like, I'm not, when you were coming up, I couldn't be the stay-at-home mom anymore. I couldn't be the part-time worker at work anymore and do the tea parties and movies and munch and go out and have fun and the little things that we used to do that seemed fun. We didn't have as many of those moments. We had them, but not as many, because guess what? I'm focused on survival. I don't want the lights cut off. I don't want the gas cut off. I don't want the water turned off. I don't want to get kicked out of our house, because guess what? I've had those experiences before as a young person, so I don't want my children to experience those things. So I do what? I work even harder. I take every shift that I can to do what? Curve that sensation and shield them from those things. But in the interim of that, they feel what? That you're not present enough. But in my mind, I'm just like, I'm not present. But when I'm not present, my money speaks for me. I'm being mother and father. I'm sheltering and trying to keep you at bay from the things that could harm you, or, you know, give you a warped view of life for when you become an adult. So it was just this kind of back and forth banter. And I was just like, I felt like, you know, nothing I do is good enough. So it took me back to how I felt as a child and in my adolescence and coming up, that, you know, nothing I ever do is good enough. You can be peaceful. You can be kind. You can be giving. You can be loving. You can be forgiving. You can be present. You can be supportive. But nothing that I do is good enough because I didn't do it the way you felt that I should have done it. And so in the interim of all that, I said, you couldn't walk a mile in my shoes. Better yet, you couldn't even try these bitches on. Now, excuse me for my language, but that's how I felt at that moment. I felt offended. I felt like, how dare you? And I'm just like, you discount what I've been through, and then you discount it even more and put it on clearance. Like, you're using these things as crutches and you need to get over it. In my mind, I was just like so utterly offended and so hurt. And I'm just like, here I am feeling rejected again. Here I am feeling like what I do is not enough and I'll never be enough, no matter what capacity I show up in my children's lives. And it just made me feel some type of way. And so I didn't have any resolve or resolution for it. And, you know, I even told them about, you know, me going to therapy and things of that nature. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I even invited you guys to therapy to get to the root of our functioning dysfunctional relationships. And I was like, nobody shows up, nobody remembers. And she was just kind of like, well, you never gave me a real date. And, you know, and I had to check her. And I was just like, you know what, if I promised you something because it was important to you, you follow up and say, hey, what happened to that money that you said you were going to give me? Or, hey, you told me you were going to do this and that on this particular day. I was like, so no one shows up for me if I drop the ball and say, hey, you said that we were going to be a part of your counseling session. What day is the date? Because, again, no one's perfect. I don't remember everything, but I'm just like trying to get a better understanding of where we went wrong, or what, not necessarily went wrong, but what, how can we improve the relationship? We can't change what happens in the past. We can acknowledge the past. We can apologize for the past. But what we need to focus on is where we are now and how do we build so we can have longevity in relationship in the future. And it was just like, I had found myself, guys, like when I used to be in the system, I found myself cornered off in a place by myself. And I felt like, okay, God, here I am. Here is holy. Here's me being vulnerable. I don't like what she said. I don't like how it made me feel. And I feel like I did the best that I could with the circumstances that I was in, considering I had no manual, no handbook, no playbook on how, in regards to life, parenting, motherhood, womanhood, being a wife, nothing. All I knew is survival. And when you think of it, that's all I've been running on. Survival. And it's like, you know, you take the time to stop and acknowledge like, hey, something is wrong here. There is, these should definitely be the wonder years with grandchildren and the children being older. I have no smaller children in my home, but it's not a completely empty nest, but estranged and dysfunction with the relationships. We all love each other, but in relationships, you relate to each other and there is a bond that's, in my opinion, gets stronger as you get older, because they take the things that the bits and pieces of their parents along with their own personality, and they go out into the world and they create life for themselves. And then they come back to you and they say, hey, you're the coach that put them in the game. So they want to know the play for this particular area in their life. And you just kind of advise and help them navigate through life. But as for me and my children, it's not always like that. I'm not saying that it has to be a perfect relationship, but just when you realize and you know how to do better, you want to do better and you want better for your children, and you want a better relationship for generations to come. And that starts with communication. And it's like, okay, I wasn't present as much as you wanted me to be, but it wasn't for the lack of partying, drugs, alcohol, men running in and out the house or hanging out with the wrong people. I was always a phone call away, but I was at the job on the clock. And, you know, my daughter was just like, oh, well, there were times when you weren't working and you had vacation and you didn't vacation with us and you didn't spend time with your children. And it was the way that the text message came across. And that was like a blow to the body with that one. And so I was just like, okay, you have a valid point as a child. But what I want you to understand it as an adult who's bleeding in the situation, who's bleeding and spewing out anger and bitterness and depression, I wasn't motherly in those moments. That's not something I would want to bleed all over my children and expose them to that. So in my mind, I felt I was protecting you by what? Staying in my room, going sitting at the park and not coming home till late till people were probably asleep, preparing for the next day. It was trying to lick my wounds of life and preserve myself. So it was one of those things to where all those emotions came back and having these conversations via text and just talking to God. And I was just like, I just had a moment to where I found myself literally checked out sitting in the Dollar Tree parking lot, licking my wounds. And I was just like, it took me back to a prophecy that prophetess Kelly Cruz said one Sunday when I walked in late with my little church finger, like, okay, I'm gonna sit over here. And she was like, you come here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just got myself a one-way ticket to the altar. So I get up there and she's like, God told me to tell you that you've never felt included. You've never felt like enough, but he says to tell you that I've included you. And so, you know, the level of vulnerability in that parking lot and crying out to God and talking, it made me feel not better, but it was like I just took the burden off my back and off my heart and gave it to him. So I went home. I listened to Pastor Mike Todd, this sermon called Marked. It's a series, so you guys should check that out too. And then I was listening to Sarah Jakes called The Undoing, and she talks about how God is, we're so used to God performing and showing up in one way, or we have our mind and heart basically fixated on how we want him to do it, but he's like, I'm doing something new. And it was just like, okay, Lord, I need you to do something new for me, for my children. I was like, because I'm at a point to where I don't want to retreat. That means the enemy wins. So it's like I talk and I prayed and I listened and I fell asleep listening to a sermon, and I shed some tears that night. And I woke up the next morning and I had a session at the gym, and I told my trainer, I was just like, you know what, I think I'm gonna be like 5 minutes late. And as I'm driving and I get there, and actually I got there, my session started at 9:30, got there and walked through the door at 9:27, and he was just like, you know, it's cool. And I was telling him, I said, I needed to be here today. I said, I had a hell of a day at work. I said, I had a hell of a time with one of my kids, and how she's like the spokesperson, I guess, for all of them. And this is how they feel, because she was talking about how the relationships and the views are. And I was just like, I needed to come in here, kick some ass, and leave it on the floor. And that's exactly what I did. So I had my session, I felt better, and I was drained, I was tired. It was a good tired feeling though. And when I left there, I had a different perspective. And I was just like, you know what? It's war. It's warfare. I'm not fighting against my children in any way, shape, or form. It's the spirits that we're speaking against, we're coming against, and I have to claim what's mine. So I claim my children. I claim that there's healing and wholeness in our relationship, and that even if that means you have to just take time and love from a distance, support from a distance, not that you turn your back on your family or anything like that, but sometimes you need to lick your wounds, gather yourself, and come back and do it again. So, I just want to encourage you guys. I'm not sure who needs to hear this or who's going through the same thing with their children or their family, significant other, whomever. And it's not necessary that you've been a product of the system in any way. because what I'm speaking about is life for everyone at some point in time, in some way, shape, or form. And it's just like, I want to encourage you. It's okay to be your authentic self. It's like, I'm gonna give you an example again, because again, these are my situations in life, because some people look at the outside and think, oh, she doesn't really go through much. She's always happy-go-lucky. No, it's just, you know, you learn how to wear things well. And I was telling my sister about the situation, and she's like, one of my older sisters, she's like my protector and defender. And she was just like, oh no, and you're just too nice. That's the problem. You're just too nice. You've always been that way since you were a kid. Just a kind heart, sweet person, always want to help somebody, and people are going to run over you. And I had to stop her, and I said, look, I talk all the time, and I tell people to be their authentic self. I said, don't get me wrong. I said, I've had this conversation with God on many occasions, and I'm just like, why did you make me this way? Why am I so nice and so kind, and people can say and do whatever, and I can't say and do whatever and treat them that way, because I'm not being my authentic self if I do. And it's just like, I'm loving, I'm giving, I'm forgiving, I'm supportive, and all these things. And God is just like, okay, what's the problem with that? And I'm just like, it's costing me everything. I was just like, I just don't understand. And I'm just like, why does it have to be so frustrating? Why does it have to be? And he's just like, oh, why did I make you like me? And I just kind of got silent, like, oh, Father, help me navigate this thing then. And so it took me back to, and I was telling my sister, I said, I can only be me. And she was like, Jesus got upset too. And just like when he destroyed the temple, he got tired of people, you know, taking advantage. I said, I understand that totally. I ain't destroying no temples. I'm here to tear down the walls and the barriers that are put up in other ways. And I was just like, I can only be me and who God has called me to be. Be my authentic self. And then being that, if someone tries to manipulate and demean and disrespect, get over, or whatever the case may be, that's between them and God. They have to answer to God for that. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie to y'all. Sometimes I'd be upset and I'd be crying and I'd just be like, oh my gosh. And I go talk to God and I'm just like, hey, you my dad. Do you see how they doing me down here? What's up? Don't you care? Handle it, because your child is tired. I'm going to be honest with you. I have those conversations, and it's one of those things to where it's like, it's not that God answers back. It's like it's like target practice. I get to shoot out all that negative energy, thoughts, desires, behavior, wishing I could treat people the way they treat me so they can see that I ain't no punk and things of that nature. And I'm just like, who do I have a point to prove something to? Nobody but me and God. And let people think and do whatever they want to do. And as God directs me to evaluate, retreat, cut people off, then we'll stick and move just like that. But I'm just going to continue to be myself. And my sister didn't understand that at first. And I'm just like, that's all I can be. That's it. So I just want to encourage you guys that you're going to run across people who have a double mindset, who operate in different seasons of their life. They'll continue to change. And, you know, they'll just kind of go back and forth or whatever the case may be. But you be you. Whatever God has told you to do, do that thing. If God told you to be quiet, then be quiet. If he told you to speak, if he told you to forgive, give grace, give mercy, move, donate, support, shelter, whatever it is, speak, wave, play a song, send a text message, an encouraging word, whatever it is, just be yourself. Just be obedient. And don't worry about the rest. And you know what? It's like, we allow these things to become distractions, and that's not what we want. We want to stay focused, because the enemy just wants to deter us from doing what God said. We want to stay focused, and we want to maintain our fighting stance and do what we have to do. So as always, I want to encourage you, be your authentic self. Stay safe and God bless.